Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, April 1st, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 272. There's no guests. It's just me flying solo. Happy Easter, everybody. I hope that everyone is having a safe and happy holiday, being with your family and friends, celebrating it. If you celebrate the rising of Jesus Christ, I mean, have a great time. And if you don't, I hope you're having a good Sunday, a good week. I hope that whenever this podcast hits your eardrums, that you're having a good week. And even if you don't celebrate Easter, maybe you can get half off of the candy, you know? I mean, who wouldn't want that? I've never been a big Cadbury fan. I get it. But when I was a kid, it used to be just those chocolate bunnies. You put in some, you know, you don't want it to melt, so you put it in the refrigerator. And then it's like these real hard chocolate bunnies. They're pretty good. Easter egg hunts were okay. I was never really into all that, but the candy's fucking great. Like those Reese's peanut butter eggs, they're really good. So I like those. So maybe what I'll do, maybe on my way to work tomorrow morning, I'll see what the deal is at Stop and Shop with some of those Reese's eggs, and I can just leave them in my car. No, if you leave them, it's not winter anymore. It's springtime now. So that all that shit would melt. Because sometimes what I do is, like, when I go to the movies, I'll sneak some candy in. One of my biggest movie sneak-in accomplishments. One of my biggest movie sneaking in food accomplishment was a couple weeks ago when I was in Hartford. I snuck in some Chick-fil-A and some cran apple juice. And I put it on my Instagram story. I thought that was pretty fun. I ate some chicken biscuits and watched Love, Simon. So yeah, that was fun. So I just got back from the Maryland, D.C. area. Got to visit my parents for a little bit. I took Friday off, went down, and I was fortunate enough to book some shows. Shout out to Randolph, Terrence, and Andy Klein, Three Guys On Cats, for making that available for me. I got to work at the DC Draft House for the first time, and I opened for Chad Daniels, who's a very funny comic out of Minnesota. Just a fucking beast on stage. That he had some really good, he had some great jokes, like talking about his family, his kids and stuff. And he talked about a lot of the Me Too stuff that's going on right now. And the crowd was trying to act like they didn't want to hear it, but he went in anyway. And he was great. Like it was a good time. And the thing about the DC Draft House is when you work there and you do like a weekend show, like maybe they'll have somebody Friday and Saturday and they'll do four shows and whatnot. It's just a two-hander. It's just an opener and the headliner. So it's like you get to go out there. I did 20 minutes each show. Got to work on some stuff. Getting ready for you, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, April 5th, ready for you motherfuckers. Hopefully you guys come out if you live in that area, it's going to be a good time. I'm feeling just inspired with my work, you know? I'm just feeling really good about my craft. Like, I'm working on it and still honing it. So I'm feeling good about it, you guys. So it was just so much fun. Probably one of the best weekends that I've had, if not the best weekend that I've had in 2018, I would say. Just a good weekend. Got to see my parents for a little bit. Not as much drama as I thought it would be. So that's good. I did the Three Guys On podcast. So, the Patreon ep will drop on Monday, and then the Thursday episode will drop on Thursday, no other day, but Thursday. So I'm excited to be back on it. It had been almost 2 years since I'd done Three Guys On, since I was like, I've done a proper episode. You know, like the last time I was on, it was like episode, like it was like gas station chicken and get your bars up, where we talked about gas station chicken. And then I had a really whack freestyle that I did on the other episode. So it was great to hang out with those guys, as always, two of my comedy mentors. So it was good to hang with them, and they've been doing it for 8 years. It had to be, yeah, because it was like some Facebook memory that I was like the first guest on there. So that was really cool to get to hang with them and do some shows. Like, I'm living my dream, you guys. So it's good to do that, touch home and all that shit. What does Common say in that you fucking revisionists are saying he's corny now? What does he say on time traveling? He says something about touching home, because that's kind of where I got it from. Common. Hold on a sec. I stand corrected. It wasn't time traveling. It was his verse on respiration. But on time traveling, he says, travel to a place sweeter than home, listening to Nina Simone. But he says on respiration, he says, sometimes I take the bus home just to touch home from the crib I spent months gone. Sat by the window with a clutch dome, listen to shorties cuss long. Young girls weak with weak minds, but they butt strong. What, young? Can't tell me he ain't the GOAT, man. He's one of the greatest of all time. But yeah, I would say, did I talk about August Green on here? I'm not sure if I did, but I think I did mention that, because I know I did at some point. But if you have Amazon Prime, and you'd probably have Prime Music, and it's all on there, so you can listen to it, you can stream it and stuff. So, I kind of changed my life 2 weeks ago, you guys. Most of you probably already have this, and you'll roll your eyes. But I paid off my phone on AT&T. I had like a 7 Edge or whatever. And so I got it 2 years ago, and it's paid off now. And I keep going over in data. So I was just like, yo, I just went into the store and I was just like, hey, can you guys give me unlimited data? Can I pay for that? And I have so much. It's like my phone is on Game Genie now. Like, I don't care anymore. I don't care if you don't have Wi-Fi. I'm going to use that data, you know? And I probably should have done this like a year ago or two. Shit, I should have been doing this all along. But hey, it takes time for some people, you guys. Don't judge me. But yes, yeah, so I won't get those annoying text messages about, you've used 70% of your data. You fucking asshole. We're going to charge you randomly $15 because you scrolled on your Twitter timeline. Where was I going with all this? So we're talking about DC. We're talking about working with Chad Daniels. It was my first time working at the DC Draft House. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, so I did those shows. So Friday night I did two shows, and there were two shows on Saturday night. And at the end of the Friday, every Friday they have Haywood Turnipseed Jr., who is SP number one on Three Guys On. He hosts a weekly show at the DC Draft House called Attack of the Comics. And that's a free show every Friday at like 10:45. And he put me on. I asked to do some time. Got to do a little bit of time. And it was fun, man. It was just, I got to do five shows in 2 days. And it's awesome. I could have did the open mic, but I was just like, I got to drive back home and I'm going to be exhausted. So I opted out, but it was fucking cool. So there's still, you know, you think about for the comics that listen to the show, you know, like I felt like, I guess if you do comedy long enough, you have venues that open that where you started out at and you have new places that pop up. And then some of these other places close, and it's sad, you know, but it still feels like the tradition that started at the DC Draft House that Randolph and Andy and Tim started at the Arlington Draft House in that green room. They're doing it over down in DC. So that was dope. Cause as I was walking out, it was like a circle of comics that were, you know, they were reading off the host was reading off, you know, the order of the show and whatnot. And it was like mad people out there. So that was fucking dope. And it was people in there ready to see the show. Like after the Chad Daniels show, a lot of people stayed to watch the open mic. So it was really cool, man. So I really like to go down to DC and do shows whenever I can. That was a really, really great weekend. So right now I'm in my apartment and I have NBA TV on mute right now, and the Sixers are playing the Hornets. The Hornets are eliminated from the playoffs, but the Sixers clinched for the first time in a long ass time. And then Joel Embiid gets hurt by Markel Fultz, who just came off of a weird injury. There were questions about his shooting hand or something, and there's like all this drama behind it, like is he ever gonna play again, what the fuck is going on? And he's playing and he's doing pretty well. He's doing good. He doing good, young. He's doing pretty good and shit, young. So that's good to see. But then Embiid's hurt, but at least he'll be back for the playoffs. I don't like to see these guys get hurt. I don't like to see anybody get hurt, but especially these players that are on playoff teams, you don't want to see him get hurt because you want the playoffs to be as interesting and as entertaining as possible. And it sucks when these dudes get hurt. Like Steph is hurt. Who else is, like, is Draymond? A bunch of the Warriors are kind of banged up, and I don't want to see that. I want to see them at full strength. I want to see them go at Houston. I want to see that what seems to be the inevitable Western Conference Finals, according to all the blog boys, as Kevin Durant would say, it's a collision course. It's a collision course between the Golden State and the Rockets. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So I'm excited about the playoffs to start. Baseball, I don't really care about anymore. NFL draft. I don't know. I just know that Saquon Barkley kid, and I know about Lamar Jackson, and that's it. And I just know how they're trying to fuck up Lamar Jackson's money. They don't want him. They want him to play a fucking wide receiver. He's not a wide receiver. They leaked his Wonderlic scores. They said he didn't do well. And then some other white kid did better than him. And yeah, so it's that old chestnut again. It's like that old and then we can't just flat out say it's racism. But it is. And Roseanne is trolling us with her TV show. A lot of people are in their feelings about that. Hey, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. All the drama, though, it makes me kind of want to see it. Like, I don't know. Like, I remember the I don't remember it that well. Like, she kissed Sandra Bernhardt. I remember that. I remember they used to have a loose meat sandwich spot that they used to work at or something. And then I just remember Roseanne saying, "Dan." And now she's like kind of a, she's saying like racist shit and on Twitter, and Trump is, you know, complimenting or calling her to compliment her on the show. But he ain't call Stephon Clark's people, you know, he ain't do that young, you know, but were we expecting him to? We weren't expecting him to, but he had time enough to, you know, talk to her about the, her TV show. And it's funny to me because the homie Rod mentioned this, and I didn't put two and two together, but he was one of the first people that I saw either post an article or say something about, you know, there's a controversial episode of Black-ish about NFL players kneeling, and they didn't air that show. But, you know, Roseanne can talk about whatever she wants to talk about. And you'll hear this on Three Guys On. We talk about it a little bit. How it's that whole separation of, because it's really not Roseanne, the TV character, that people are mad about. People don't like Roseanne, the person. And I think that Trump shit is a small part of the show. It's not even like a major thing in the show, but people are pissed about it. And then all these celebrities are like, feel like they need to chime in to talk about the show, and like saying, "Oh, you know, we need to be together, and this is a show that talks about our differences and da da da." It's like, you don't need to say nothing, young. Do you really need? You could text. You could text your friends on the show. Say, "Yo, that was good. I know people talking shit about it, but it's doing good. It's doing great numbers." Wanda Sykes, one of the funniest people alive, is the head writer. What's my girl, Whitney Cummings, is very good at what she does. She's shit. She's a mogul, so she's behind the show. So you know it's gonna be tight. Like the homie Andy was saying, you know, it's gonna be like, I think he did see it, and he was saying how the jokes were good and stuff like that. So it's just a double standard. Like, Jerrod Carmichael was trying to, what was he doing? Trying to negotiate something, the contract or something. And then they canceled the Carmichael show, which was a show that's quite similar. That Norman Lear, All in the Family type vibe, the Salon style of these characters discussing various issues that are happening in the country today, culturally, and on a micro level and on a macro level, all that shit. They talked about a lot of interesting shit on the Carmichael show, and it was a good show. So yeah, it's a lot of that bullshit, man. We getting trolled. I don't know how long this is gonna be. I think I'm gonna talk a little bit about some music, and then I'm going to talk about a movie, and then I'm gonna get the fuck out of here. I think that's what I'm gonna do. Music. It's not really anything. I'm listening to, obviously listening to Defonte a lot, listening to Evidence, Whether or Not, listening to Black Milk, Fever. There's some more stuff that I gotta listen to. Now that I got this unlimited data and the world at my fingertips, I gotta stretch out more and listen to some more shit. I want to listen to that Prime 2. Let me know what you guys are listening to. Tweet at me. Tweet at Mundane Festival or tweet at Chris Lamberth, and let me know what you're listening to, if you have any recommendation. Also, Black men and women, I'm in a bit of a pickle here. I need a new face cream, okay? I used to use, GNC used to have this aloe vera gel, and it's just like very light, and it just makes your skin nice and smooth. And they discontinued it. And top 500 worst days of my life. That's up there. It's got to be at like 15. You find a good face cream or face gel and they discontinue it. This might be, this has to be up there with when they got rid of the Reese's Bites. You guys remember the I talked a little bit about that with Ants. I don't want to spoil anything, so just make this an addendum, if you will, to what Andy and I were talking about on Three Guys On. So this week when you hear it, just really good candy, really good movie theater candy, really good snackable candy where it's the whole, the taste of a Reese's, and it kind of tasted differently. It was like, I wasn't a big Goober fan. I was never really a fan of that, but Hershey's had a lot of their products in these little balls. Let me see if I can look this shit up. Let's just see what happens. I'm gonna use the Google machine. Peanut butter cup, peanut butter. Ah, shit. Peanut butter bites. I'm trying to see if they still have. There's probably. Yeah, since it's discontinued. I look like, donut. Google, you know everything that I'm thinking. Reese's peanut butter bites. And they used to come in a big bag. Oh my God, they were so fucking good. You guys remember these. And they were so good. Like, they were just the greatest candy treat ever. Because you can take them into the movies and you wouldn't get your hands messy. It would just be like a very good treat. It's not like the Reese's Minis. It's not like that. It's just, it was next level. Let's see. Here we go. This is from packagingpedia.wikia.com. Reese's Bites. Reese's Bites was a product of Hershey Foods Corporation, later named the Hershey Company in 2005, as part of HFC's Bites lineup. This product and the entire Bites lineup were all discontinued due to a choking hazard. God damn it. In 2004, a successor of the product called Reese's Swoops, chocolate-covered Pringles with peanut butter icing on top, replaced the Bites version. The Swoops version was discontinued in 2006. In 2012, a brand new Reese's product, unwrapped version of Reese's Miniatures named Reese's Minis, replaced the Swoops version as that version's successor. So those are the ones that are minis where they're unwrapped tiny cups. Those are fine, but it's not the same. It's not the same. So that's replaced the Swoops version. Swoops were not that good. In 2013, the word Bites was brought back only to be used on Twizzlers Bites and Jolly Ranchers Bites. As of 2014, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Reese's Pieces, Fast Break, Nutrageous, Sticks, Crispy Crunchy are the base Reese's products to survive. I felt like these ended later than 2003, but I think maybe it was just like a cycle, like they just cycled them out because somebody choked on them. I think if you try to swallow the things, you're going to have a problem, but not like if you don't try to swallow them like an asshole, but if you chew them, you'll be okay. That's fucked up to find that out. Anyway, they were good candies, but so back to the face. That was really fat of me. That's some fat boy shit. Like I need better skincare. I need to find a new skincare product. And I'm talking about, actually, you know, I felt worse when they canceled this candy that I liked. But I was never like, I like sweets, but my palate for a lot of these treats, I wouldn't say that it's limited, but it's just like, there's a staple. There's like the, that's the main, like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's got to be one of my favorites. But then the Reese's chocolate bar, I would say, has usurped the peanut butter cups, because that's the best. Because you can get a big ass, chocolate bar, and it's with peanut butter, and it's made by Reese. It's a Reese's brand, and it's delicious, and it's very like a satisfying sweet treat. So every time I'm in Walmart, I try to get at least two of them, and I don't eat them right away, but I'll just like, I'll save it for like sneaking into a movie, or if I know I'm going to chill and watch a movie or something like that at home on the weekend, that's what I like to indulge in. But I don't like to keep them in my apartment on a regular basis. So what I need to do is find a new facial cream that's just something that you can, that's not heavy. I've tried Eucerin cream, but then that just kind of makes me, I don't know if Eucerin cream is too intense. But I'll miss that aloe vera gel. It was really good. It was just really good. Like, my mom put me onto it, and I had been using it for years, and it was just so good, you guys. So, black people, that's really fucked. No, people of color, what do you use? What do you use on your skin? What kind of everyday cream do you put on your face before you leave the house? I remember when I was a kid, there used to be this kid that would wear, put Vaseline, and he would just be mad greasy. He just put on Vaseline. So I let me know. I know some people use cocoa butter, but see, something like cocoa butter, I like cocoa butter lotion, and I don't want to upset the cocoa butter mafia, but that can sometimes be a little too thick, and you can make your skin like oily. I don't know. Let me know what you guys use. What else? Music. So yeah, told you about the music I was listening to, and I just kind of revisited. There was this, I think a couple weeks ago, one of these websites, one of these accounts was like, "Oh, what's your favorite album? One of your favorite albums from recent memory, where you don't, or of all time that you can listen to without skipping." And I put up, I said Saint Vincent. I said Actor by Saint Vincent. And I left my iPod at my parents' house while I was driving around and stuff in DC. And I was rocking that Odyssey, and you know, I was rocking that Odyssey junk riding around DC, young. That Iceberg junk. I put in Saint Vincent's Actor, and it definitely is. It's one of those. That's one of my favorite albums of the last 10 years. Like, I'm trying to fit, and then like, it's that album that you don't have to skip for me. Like, I don't have to skip a song. And The Foreign Exchange, Leave It All Behind. I want to say that Leave It All Behind might be my favorite Foreign Exchange album. But let me get back to Actor. Actor clocks in at 39 minutes, 39:09. And none of this, all this shit is really good. Like, I think, I don't even know if I mentioned this when Shalewa was on the show, when we were talking about like albums that, maybe we did. We talked for fucking 3 hours. But I would say this is probably my favorite Saint Vincent album. And she did, if there are any of you that are listening and you like Saint Vincent, because I recommended you to her, I recommended her music to you. She's got this, it's easy to find on YouTube. It's called, if you just type in St. Vincent, the Lake Fever Sessions, you'll get to see her do live versions of Actor Out of, let me see what I can, it's Actor Out of Work, Lake Fever. Let me just, I just want to see what the records are that she does. So she does an acoustic version of The Strangers and Actor Out of Work. I thought she did three, but maybe it's just, did she do a Human Racing? I don't think she did Human Racing on that. But she at least did. So this, God, that was 8 years ago. And it's just like, you can tell a song is good. Because the thing about this Actor album is like, her inspiration was listening to scores from old Disney movies and stuff, or old movies and whatnot. And like you had, and she would just fuck it up with her guitar. Like you have these beautiful sounds, and then you just, she just like tear through the beautiful melodies and the all the shit with the guitar. But there would be this beautiful shit. And obviously, like these are like, the more that I'm thinking about it, it's like some of these songs are pretty big, like with a lot of shit going on. And then, like when you break it down, like, you know, an artist is really good when they can just sing to you on a guitar and you have this really complex song on record that's really good. And it's just, it's even more, I've always said this about her, and it's the first time that she was the first artist that I really noticed this about, was just that like a lot of her shit is even more compelling, or to me is more compelling than the recorded stuff. And I think that's just a testament to a good artist, where, like I've mentioned, you know, Rachel Yamagata to you guys earlier this year too, a few times on the show. But if you're interested in Actor, check it out. And then if you like it, check out St. Vincent Lake Fever Sessions, where she does Actor Out of Work and acoustic versions of Actor Out of Work and The Strangers. I was listening to this podcast, Dax Shepard from Parenthood and a bunch of other movies. He has this podcast. Oh my God. It's called Armchair Expert. And I found out, I didn't realize he had a podcast. He's Kristen Bell's husband. He has this podcast, and one of my favorite singers was on there, Van Hunt. And I don't know if I've mentioned, I feel like I've mentioned Van Hunt to you before. He's also one of my favorite, my favorite album of his is On the Jungle Floor. And Dax Shepard interviewed Van Hunt for almost 2 hours. And at the end, Van Hunt played, I think he played two or three songs, and it was just acoustic. And it was these, it was so fucking good. Like, he's got a record called Being a Girl. Oh my God, what song, what other songs did he do? Dust, which was his first like single, his first like major song from his first single from his first album, self-titled album. And it was just so good. It was so good that I think Dax Shepard like kind of teared up. I think you could hear him like sniffing. And it was just like this intricate, just him on the guitar was kind of intricate, and it was just like, it was fucking beautiful. It's a good interview. If you've never heard of Van Hunt before, I would say Quick and Dirty to really get into what he's doing. You could go with, I would start with On the Jungle Floor, because that's my favorite. I think that would almost be a Desert Island album. What are your Desert Island albums, you guys? Tweet at me. Let me know. Email me something. Have a connection with me. I feel like, I know you guys listen. I know people listen to this thing. And nobody writes email. A couple people might write an email. Or, and some of you guys comment on the Patreon. And I appreciate, thank you for subscribing, to those of you that have subscribed to the Patreon page. There's a lot of cool shit going on. This week, I think, we'll get back to the Desert Island albums. This week, I've got a conversation with Leah Bonema. We're talking about the Waco series, the David Koresh Waco Paramount Network joint. And we talk about Collateral, the Netflix show. So by the time this hits your ears, that conversation will be up. And I think in the spirit of that 930 Club bootleg that I posted a couple weeks ago, I'm going to give you a failed Office Depot voiceover audition. I put together about a 12-minute voiceover audition for Office Depot, and I got denied. And I think that gig might have been it was pretty good money if I would have booked it. But I think they kind of wanted me to coon it up a little bit, and I didn't do that. I did something different. Not like I'm sounding like I sound like an asshole when I say that. There were elements of, like, I felt like they kind of, that's a preview, okay? That's how I felt about it. This is what I'm going to do. For the Patreon subscribers, you're going to get me and Leah Bonema talking about Waco, the TV series. We're going to be talking about Collateral, the Carey Mulligan vehicle, BBC detective joint. And then you're going to get my failed Office Depot audition. And I think that I'm going to find the character breakdown, and I'm going to read that to you, and then I'm going to have you, you know, listen to it. So I think that'll be fun. I think you'll get a kick out of that. So subscribe. There's other cool shit. I'm in talks with the great Sarah Tolomash to talk about some movies. So that's going to be on Indie Movie Corner. So a lot of cool stuff. So let's get back to Desert Island albums. So if I could take, let's just do five. How about we do five? So mine, I would have to go with in no particular order. I would definitely go with D'Angelo's Voodoo, A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders. I got to go with St. Vincent Actor. And I got two more. Shit, this is hard. Ooh, do I want to say NERD, Fly or Die at four? Five is going to be kind of tricky. Ooh, this is really hard. Kind of want to have, ooh, do I want to throw in the Black Star album? Shit, this is really hard, man. Mos Def and Talib Kweli, greatest rap duo. Can you really call it that? They only did one album? Or do you just say, like, you got to say Tribe or Outkast or Wu-Tang? Ooh, that's fucking hard, man. Did I say On the Jungle Floor? I didn't say that. I didn't even say the album that I thought would be on there. All right. Let me see. D'Angelo's Voodoo. Midnight Marauders. NERD. Fly or Die. Ooh-wee. Oh, that's really hard. And I'm just doing this off the dome, so forgive me. What are we? We're four. Okay. Gosh. So, wow. D'Angelo's Voodoo, Midnight Marauders, Fly or Die to mix it up. Van Hunt's On the Jungle Floor. Actor, St. Vincent. Let's rock with that. Let's rock with that for now. And let me know what yours are, and we'll talk, we'll discuss. But that's a decent, because there's a little bit of variety. There's fun stuff. D'Angelo, I would say that D'Angelo album was like, yeah, that was classic. Then, you know, you got to remember, like, even before that, like, that's like one of those albums where I really realized that, oh, these guys are doing live instruments on this thing. And I'm talking about of my time period. Mint Condition, yes. Tony, House of Music. God, that was a good album. That was really fucking good. So they, yeah, that's really hard to, that's really hard to really whittle that down. But I would love to know what you guys have as your top five desert island albums. Like, if you're stranded on a desert island and you can only take five albums, five CDs with you, what would you take? Cause then, you know, like, I'm just at the same time, I'm leaving out Little Brother, leaving out Foreign Exchange. And I think I left out Black Star in the first round. I left out Black on Both Sides. Yeah, man, that's hard. That's really hard to do. Movies. I saw Ready Player One. I had this gig in Morristown, New Jersey, and I remember dating a woman from Morristown, New Jersey. It didn't last long enough for me to really go to Morristown. We met like halfway in this, and at the movie theater that I went to the movies at, this at the AMC in do they call that Dover, New Jersey? Rockaway, New Jersey. But I think it's like, anyway, so I went there. Oh, let me talk about the gig. I did this gig, this show, the Double Platinum Comedy show, and it's run by this comic Ritu Chandra. I think that is how you say her name. Let me make sure, because I want to give people their just due, especially comics, you know. And every time you want to look up something, it always goes kind of slow. It's always some drama. Yeah, Ritu Chandra. She runs this really fucking cool show at this place called South Street Social. And it's a really nice bar. Like, Morristown is like a upper middle class type area. And it's all types of people. They hang out together, like different races. I mean, who would have thunk it? Like in semi-western New Jersey. It's like this really nice bar that used to be called something else, but now it's called South Street Social. And they have a nice space upstairs, and downstairs they have a bar, and I guess where musical acts perform and stuff sometimes. But I think maybe they use it for private parties and whatnot also. Had a really fucking good time. I did like a half hour, close to a half hour or so, 25, 30, whatever. And just had a blast. Like, it was just like a raucous crowd. It was fun. Everybody killed. Everybody had a good set. And I closed it out. And it's just a really cool, really fun show. That's just like Thursday shows that go really well, that lead you into the weekend, just kind of make you feel good. Like, just as a comic, like, it's just the perfect way to start a vacation. I like, as far like this part of my career, where even though like it's you struggle and you hustle and you're worried about money, you're worried about all this other shit, the troubles of your life, like everybody does. But just in my life right now, where like the perfect weekend starts, where you have a show, it's fucking great, and then you have like that Friday off and you do whatever you need to do for your weekend and all that stuff, and it's just like, it's just so dope. So I had a really great time. So let's talk about Ready Player One and get the fuck out of here. All right, so Ready Player One, this is from Rotten Tomatoes. In the year 2045, people can escape their harsh reality in the Oasis, an immersive virtual world where you can go anywhere, do anything, be anyone be anyone. Yeah, that should be a fucking period. All right. The only limits are your own imagination. Oasis creator James Halliday left this immense fortune and control of the Oasis to the winner of a contest designed to find a worthy heir. When unlikely hero Wade Watts conquers the first challenge of the reality-bending treasure hunt, he and his friends, known as the High Five, are hurled into a fantastical universe of discovery and danger to save the Oasis and their world. This was directed by Steven Spielberg. It's written by Zach Penn and Ernest Cline. And this is an adaptation from, I think it's from 2011, from Ernest Cline. So he had screenwriting credits for this as well, for the film. I liked it. It was fun. It had Olivia Cooke in it. White Girl Magic, White Starlets. She was in Thoroughbreds, which was terrific, and she's in this. This kid, what else? I'm trying to think what this kid was in. The kid that played Wade. Ty Sheridan. What was he in? What else was he in? The Forger? Oh, he was a kid from Mud. Okay. Mud and Joe, the Tree of Life, X-Men Dark Phoenix. All right. So he's kind of like Mud. He was one of the leads. He was a principal in that. Joe, I have not seen with Nicolas Cage, but it was good. It was entertaining. It's like I saw where some people said, like, you know, Steven Spielberg's back on his blockbuster shit. You know, he's stunting on y'all a little bit. I had to see this in 3D because I couldn't use my movie pass. So I had to pay 17 fucking bucks for this. It's solid, but I just wish I didn't have to pay for the thing. But because I was in a time crunch, I wasn't in a really much of a time crunch, but because I had to be somewhere, I had to settle for the 3D. And yeah, it was cool. I was really impressed by the special effects. I really liked the animation and the CGI stuff. It almost felt like it was like, even though they did do an updated version of Tron, it made me think of Tron, like how they're mainly in the virtual world. And it seems like that's something that you could see this shit happening. But it's just set in a post-apocalyptic United States, and for people to get away, like, that's people's thing that they like to do for fun. And this element was in, I told you that I went to this play. What's my girl's name? I'm looking at the, I'm getting old, man, not remembering people's names. Shorty from The Big Sick. Zoe Kazan. Zoe Kazan had this play that premiered in New York City around Thanksgiving time. I told you about it after the blast, and it had similar elements of like that escape where you go into like this virtual reality world to just kind of relax and chill and take your mind off all the bullshit. And that's definitely, we do a lot of that now. And I think it's low key making her play was like making a blatant comment on that to a certain degree. And this film, definitely, if you just kind of look a little closer, it's definitely doing that. Where it's like virtual reality is da 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 da, and this is, you know, it's making some statements. There were parts of it that reminded me of Minority Report, which isn't a bad thing. It's an entertaining movie. I was entertained. I did have as the homies from the Hot Firestarter podcast would say, I got in a couple sleeps, but it wasn't because of the movie. It was just because I was up really early and I worked all day. I drove a lot. I drove over an hour to get to from my job to, you know, to Jersey, to that part of Jersey I was performing in. So it's entertaining. I didn't have any problems with it, really. I thought Lena Waithe was really good for the part that she had. It was just a lot more CGI shit than I thought it was gonna be, but it was cool. I liked the action sequences. I thought that it was there were moments that were pretty compelling, you know. I dug it overall. There were some good. It was good. It's good. It's good. I recommend it. I don't recommend that. I don't think you need to see this movie in 3D. Which was a kind of bummer that there were no IMAX screenings in the time that I needed it to be one, because with AMC I could have doubled my points for paying a lot of money for the tickets. And I said that I wasn't gonna do the dine-in anymore, but I might do it. I might do it one more time when I do the Avengers. When I go see the Avengers, because I got my ticket, and I think what I'll do is I'll just try to save my AMC Stubbs points to really ball out of control. I'm not going to ball out of control with the dine-in, but I think I'll get a burger from the dine-in thing, because the burger was pretty good. So I think I might do something like that. The nachos were just too messy. Like, they had just been too messy for that, you know? I don't know. But I think maybe I'll just save it for something fun, like Avengers opening day. So, yeah, I don't know. What I'm excited about movies right now is A Quiet Place. That looks like that's going to be pretty fun. So, I'll talk about that hopefully next time, and maybe get somebody on to talk about it and just kind of shoot the shit about it. All right. So what have we done? What have we done? We've done 52 minutes. 52 minutes. Guys, I wasn't even expecting to do one of these. I think you're pretty entertained. I think you're good. I think this is good. Like, I didn't even know if I was going to do this. Honestly, I drove from Maryland to New Jersey, and I was like, let's see what's up with my listeners. Let me talk to them. They got to know that I can't. All right, let me just get the fuck out of it. Guys, this has been episode 272. I've been your host, Chris Lamberth, of the Mundane Festival podcast, and I'm going to sign off. Have a great week. Take care of each other. Be nice. Don't tailgate people on the highway. Take it easy, everybody.